good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. I'm Guy Barrett. I'm glad you stopped by KNSS. I hope you do every Saturday between noon and 1, the lunch hour, if you will. And, you know, but I get it, it's Saturday, and you should be out enjoying this weather. Don't lose track of and don't let your technical or lack of technical sophistication keep you from downloading podcasts. KNSSradio.com, you got to hunt around. There's several button clicks to find the good life. And, man, it goes back about 2.5 years worth of programming. And it's listed in inverse order by date. So this program, where I'm speaking about Italy and tasting Italy with Eugenia Bone, will be at the top of the list of Good Life segments. And it will be in reverse order with the last final segment, the wine of the week, at the top. And, oh, goodness, I didn't mean to hit the microphone. I usually don't pull the cork out until it's time for the wine of the week, but looking at the pictures in this book, Tasting Italy, is giving me pause. Wine of the week comes up later. I'll tell you about it, but if you hear a sniffing sound, that's my nose in the glass. My guest today is Julia Bone, Eugenia. Why did I call you Julia? Because we were talking about Julia Della Croce. Eugenia, we talked about Italy kind of being a bunch of little countries pasted together. And there is some pretty significant differences. For me, and in general terms, there's northern Italy, and then there's everything south of Tuscany. But that's kind of a broad thing. Tell us about those sections and why it's so important that you guys did one of the few books that have used those sections as outlines for the different recipes.
Well, the sections that we, the sort of overarching organization is three areas: northern Italy, central Italy, and southern Italy and the islands. So that would include Sardinia and Sicily. But each of those regions, each of those larger areas have, of course, many different regions, a total of 20 for all of Italy. And what we tried to do here was really dig down into each region and explore the food from the perspective of the geology, the weather, the main agricultural products, the culture and history. And we tried to draw from all that a characterization of the food so that folks who go to a place like Tuscany can understand it on all these different levels, but they can also understand how all those levels equal the beans, bread, and beef culture that you find in Florence, for example.
The pictures are fantastic, and whoever took them, was it a team of folks from National Geo, or was there one person?
No, the team, National Geographic, reached widely to their community to get all these different kinds of pictures. The book was actually produced quite quickly, so it's not like they could send out a couple of photographers to leisurely enjoy all of Italy. And unfortunately, they couldn't do that with the writers either. I would have loved to have taken a few years to write this book
and travel,
visited these places in depth. That we were not able to do. Nonetheless, Julia and I both have enough knowledge about Italy and enough travel experience to have been able to pull together essays that we think, and our comrades, the National Geographic and America's Test Kitchen, seem to think as well, really speak truly to the places we're trying to describe.
You know, and you touched on it, but I need to emphasize this. Not many people other than me sit down, or my wife, sit down and thumb through cookbooks and read them. This is a book where you should do that. You absolutely should do that to get a feel for these places and the artisanal producers and that the combination, the terroir, if you will, in wine terms, of climate and producer input and how it makes the food so different, because I think that's really important. Like you said, the maps just in the first section alone to talk about older times in Italy and how it evolved, and it's cool. Let's start with northern Italy, because, like I said, I spent a lot of time there and had time off. And I such vivid memories of the food. And then later in my Air Force career, I spent even more time in Sardinia. and the differences to me are striking. But the northern Italian food, you know, what comes to mind is creamy cannelloni and just a myriad of beautiful vegetables and of course, obviously, some great wine. What do you guys find is the most attractive part food-wise in northern Italy?
Well, I mean, this being Italy, there tends to be a lot of great choices. But I suppose for me personally, northern Italy, there's truffles in central Italy, but it's like northern Italy where the white truffles are coming from. And that's just such an awesome culinary jewel. I think it's the most expensive food in the world, the white truffle of Piemonte.
Yeah.
So that's one of many specialties, and it's actually not cooked. It's grated raw on top of pasta or eggs, anything that's kind of creamy and carby. It tastes great. Of course, there's in Emilia-Romagna, there's amazing meats like mortadella, for example. That's where prosciutto di Parma comes from, a fantastic balsamic vinegar. That's all pretty great. In Emilia-Romagna, the food is amazing. In Trentino Alto Adige, you know, this is the apple basket of Europe. It is the place that you want to eat fruit in, beautiful plums. And that's where speck comes from as well, which is like a smoked prosciutto. That part of Italy is kind of great because it's gone back and forth between German ownership or Austrian ownership and Italian. So it's got a little bit of the best of both worlds. It's like the trains run on time, like in Austria, but you can get a really good panini in the train station, like in Italy. So it's a sort of perfect mix of those two cultures. Well, you know, it really doesn't end. What about Veneto?
Oh,
an incredible seafood that comes from out of Venice. But all along the coast, there's magnificent fisheries and a seafood culture. And then all through the Po Valley. This is like one of the richest parts of Italy, and it's probably why the north is one of the richest part of the entire country. It's where there's industry, but there's also this incredible agriculture and temperate weather. You know, Guy, I mean, how much time do we have?
Well, yeah, and that is a problem. I hate that, but it's just, if I had to pick, northern Italy would be where I would want to live or spend a lot of time, and just the food memories, and we used to go up into the Dolomites to what's the ski area called? Cortina? No.
Yes.
And you know, I have the memory of the first time that I had Grana Padana, you know, from the southern Veneto. And, it's a Parmesan Reggiano similar cheese, gradable, of course, at times. But more importantly, it's less money and it's such a great eating cheese. And all the food and,
awesome.
Like you said, seafood. Oh, my God. Cozze gratinate. And, oh, well.
I mean, incredible. And then this polenta country, too. I mean, people tend to think, you know, here in the U.S. that Italy is all about pasta, but it's really not. There's variations, different kinds of cereals eaten different ways. So in the north, you have a lot of polenta, a lot of dumplings, a lot of stuffed pastas, a lot of egg pastas, again, because of the wealth of the region. Yeah. You know, and it changes as you go further south. And that's one of the things, you know, that remain one of my favorite aspects of the book is there's maps that show you the rice areas of Italy, the rice producing areas where dumplings are eaten, where dried pasta predominates, where fresh pasta predominates. You know, fresh pasta is not in and of itself just an Italian, you know, unpreserved pasta, but actually it's a method of cooking pasta, preparing pasta that's typical of some regions over others.
Mm.
So there's a lot, you know, the maps are for me, like, I mean, I've just never seen it done before. National Geographic is like the tops when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Map. I mean, they have a whole map-making department, you know. So Julie and I would feed these ideas to the map-making department and say, oh, you know, let's do maps that show the traditional cooking styles and key ingredients in all 20 regions so that you could, you know, get an idea of what would happen in, if you're in the South or you're Central or whatever. And boom, they produced them out of their, you know, map studios. It was just, wow, it was a really great experience.
Oh, I bet. And you're talking again, and I'm eating the pages. They got to come up with scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
You know, if each of these dishes.
You need a third partner for that one.
you know, the potato gnocchi with fontina sauce, and, you know, we're not going to talk about the recipes, but here is my perfect Northern Italian meal. We'd start with the prime, the potato gnocchi with fontina sauce, and maybe have a rich white wine. Savoy cabbage with ham, rye bread, and fontina.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's Val di Aosta, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think that's from, yeah, that's like ski. If you're going to, and that's ski country, really high mountain food. So, you know, you're out there hiking, and then you come in, you know, or skiing all day, and come into these incredibly simple but super savory dishes.
Okay, simple. And this, you know, anybody can make this, but not many people do. Because first off, they see polenta and they go, what? What is what? Polenta with cheese and butter. Because polenta doesn't have enough.
But these are country dishes. So, you know, I mean, it's alien to us in a way, but there's a lot of recipes in this book that don't have that many ingredients.
This is nothing.
Because it's not all it's not about the kind of high-end white tablecloth restaurant type cooking of Italy, but more it's tracking the authentic regional home cooking. This is what people normally eat there, what you can get in any trattoria there, in the particular region.
And then I think for the main course, we'd go right on to the next page, 39, stuffed veal cutlets with prosciutto and fontina and that little bit of bitter green salad off to the side. Oh, my goodness, crispy and crunchy and cheesy. And it's killing me in a very good way.
And it's easy to make.
Yeah. Nope.
And the whole, like, America's Test Kitchen thing is sort of great because they really think through what foods are available to Americans all over the country. You know, it's not just sort of coast in New York or L.A., you know, or San Francisco-centric thing. Okay, well, sure, you can get all these exotic ingredients. Not necessarily.
Nope.
So America's Test Kitchen really knocked themselves out to figure out how to give you the taste that you'll experience in Italy with the techniques and ingredients that are available anywhere in the United States.
Yep, cool stuff. Let's take a break. Can you stay with us for one more segment?
Yes, thank you.
I really appreciate it. I'm Guy Barrett, it's A Good Life. My guest today, you've been hearing her, Eugenia Bone. The book is Tasting Italy. We're not going to give it away this time, but after the next break, you'll get an opportunity to get a chance to win this book. But you can go to goodlifeguy.com. There's a link that'll take you right to a couple booksellers where you can get a copy in the post today. In fact, you might even still get, with priority shipping, you could get an Amazon delivery before Christmas for you or your guests on your Christmas list. I'm Guy Barrett. It's A Good Life. Don't go away. Eugenia and I will be right back.